de Madeleine's Speculative Fiction Review sur Art District, une chronique en anglais de Madeleine d'Este sur les romans de science-fiction et de fantasy. Here is Madeleine's Speculative Fiction Review on Art District, a program hosted by Madeleine d'Este about speculative fiction and fantasy books.
Welcome to Madeleine's Speculative Fiction Review. What's speculative fiction, you ask? It's anything outside your everyday reality. It's science fiction, it's fantasy, horror, dystopia, paranormal, alternative history, apocalyptic. I'm Madeleine d'Este, I love to read and I love books. And I'm here to tell you about a book I really liked. Today I'm talking about The Man in the High Castle by Philip K. Dick. The Man in the High Castle was originally published in 1962 by Putnam and won the Hugo Award for Best Novel of that year. Now, one of my favourite genres is alternative history thrillers, and I'm over 50 years late to the party on this book, but I devoured it on a recent holiday in Bali. Now, some hotels have libraries. Generally, there are a few beaten up paperbacks, mainly in languages that I don't speak. In this case, it was German and Dutch. And there's usually a copy of the Da Vinci Code there. But in this instance, hiding amongst the chick lit and the crime thrillers, I found Philip K. Dick's The Man in the High Castle. Philip K. Dick is best known for Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, which is the basis for Blade Runner. Now, this book is set in 1962, 15 years after the alternate end of World War II, where the former United States is now ruled over by the victorious Axis powers, so Imperial Japan and Nazi Germany. The United States is split down the centre, with the Japanese controlling the Pacific states of America and the Germans the eastern United States, divided by the Rocky Mountains down the centre. Now, the former United States is also divided along racial lines, with some members of society, particularly Chinese and black people, sitting right at the bottom. In San Francisco, the Japanese rulers are the elite. And Bob Childan owns an antique shop where he sells Americana to the Japanese. Childan is contacted by Tagami, a high-ranking Japanese trade official who's looking for a gift to impress a Swedish businessman. Now, Childan's stock comes from a metalworking company named Wyndham Matson, and Frank Frink, who is a secret Jew, is fired from Wyndham Matson and starts a handcrafted jewellery business with a colleague. While on the side, Frank tries to blackmail his old company, Wyndham Matson, over the counterfeiting of antique items, like the stock in Bob Childan's store. Frank's ex-wife Juliana lives in the neutral mountain states buffer zone, and she's a judo instructor and starts a fling with an Italian truck driver named Joe. From there, the characters are all intertwined by political intrigue, blackmail, and espionage as they double and triple cross one another. And many of the characters make decisions in the story and in their lives by using the I Ching, also known as the Book of Changes. And everyone is reading the hottest banned book, which is called The Grasshopper Lies Heavy. And this is an alternative history novel within an alternative history novel, where the Allies actually won the war. Juliana and Joe are so besotted by this book, they undertake a pilgrimage to try and find the reclusive author of the Grasshopper book, who lives in a compound called the High Castle. So as I said before, I read this on holiday and just devoured it. So why did it grip me so much? Firstly, I loved the alternative history setting and the intricate details of the world where World War II went the other way. It's a really believable dystopia. And other really believable aspects included the way the Japanese elites fetishize yet look down on American culture, which I found really intriguing, as well as all the political machinations between the Nazis and the Japanese and everyone in between. But then I was engrossed by the characters. They're all swindlers in their own way, portraying a different face for different aims. So there's the jewellery designer, the judo instructor, antiques dealer, spy, assassin. They all struggled with right and wrong internally, as well as battling the political forces externally. One of the unique parts about this book and I believe that some people struggle with this, is the strange Japanese-style dialogue, which I found poetic yet kind of alien. I also really enjoyed the counterculture-style usage of the I Ching as a guiding force in all life's decisions. In fact, apparently Philip K. Dick referred to the I Ching when he was crafting the plot of this book, which some people might say explains some of the strange plot twists. But I was fully along for the ride, and the mixture of alternative history, cultural clashes and existential crisis made this a really fascinating read. Recently, The Man in the High Castle was made into a TV series by Amazon, screening in 2015 and 16, although I can't comment because I haven't actually seen it, but I believe they're making a second season. So if you like Nazis, existential crises, novels within novels, the I Ching and political intrigue, I heartily recommend The Man in the High Castle. Thanks for listening to Madeline's Speculative Fiction Review. If you have any feedback or just want to say hello, you can contact me at Art District Radio by email at mde@artdistrict-radio.com. Or if you'd like to listen to past reviews, go to artdistrictradio.com/podcasts. Until next time, happy reading.
C'était Madeleine's Speculative Fiction Review sur Art District, à retrouver à 2h du matin, les lundis, mercredis et vendredis, spécialement pour nos auditeurs internationaux, et à midi, les mardis et jeudis. It was Madeleine's Speculative Fiction Review on Art District. You can listen to this program on Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays at 2 a.m. CET, and on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 12 p.m. CET.